Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Well done tonight. A beautiful song for us. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to read three or four verses here. And let me speak mainly to Jason and Heather tonight as we get ready to send them away. This is their last day in Illinois, leaving tomorrow morning for Georgia, correct, Jason? And so this is it. And it's always difficult to see people go. But if they go in the will of God, that takes a little bit of the sting out of it, doesn't it? And so that's what they're doing. Let's stand together. Please give you a chance to stretch your legs and look with me at verse number 30. Help me read here if you would read with me on the odd-numbered verses. And we're reading chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it," talking about the land of Canaan, the promised land, "for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." I want to speak tonight to this couple on the subject, when all you've got is all you need. When all you've got is all you need. Dear Father, help us tonight. I pray for Jason and Heather that you'll bless them. Thank you for bestowing upon this church the honor of sending this family to the Bahamas. Thank you for reaching down, Lord, and taking from us to send to others. It's never enjoyable to see people go away. It puts a lump in my throat. People whom we've loved, and in some cases, Lord, known for an awful long time. God, I pray for their children. I pray, God, for their family. I pray for the ministry. I pray for their marriage. I pray that for their individual and personal walk with you, that you'll bless them. Help me tonight, Lord, to give some words of encouragement as they get ready to leave to do your will. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated, if you would. This is the story of the 12 spies. We know it well. Entered the land of Canaan to spy out the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. We know the story well. 10 of those men came back with what God said was an evil report. Joshua and Caleb were the only two who gave a challenge to a challenge of faith to the people of Israel. They said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That was their message, of a challenge of faith to the people. Let's go up and possess it. But the 10 men had their way, and the majority won. The 10 men are disparaged by those of us who read the Bible. We even sing a song about them being bad. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and strong. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. I can teach it to you if you don't know it after the service tonight. Amen. And you just sing it faster and faster. However, the truth of the matter is, if you stop and read what they talk about here in the Bible, they were not horribly inaccurate in their assessment of the challenge. They weren't horribly inaccurate. Now, Jason and Heather, you are embarking on a mission to carry the gospel to the islands of the Bahamas. He was telling me the other day, refreshing my memory, over 700 islands make up the Bahamas. 70 of them are inhabited. We only hear about the one island, the main island, I guess, where Nassau is. Of course, that's the island to which they'll be going. While others may see the land and the islands as a place of vacation and resorts and relaxation, Jason and Heather, your eyes are on that which cannot be seen by natural eyes. Your eyes are on the souls of those people who will spend eternity apart from God if they don't come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. That's why you're going there. You know that. We know that. Now, the truth is, you folks could come up with the same assessments, I think, about the Bahamas that these 10 spies made about the land of Canaan. I see two major assessments that they made about the land of Canaan. And I want to tell you something again. They're not horribly inaccurate. In fact, they're pretty straight. I see, first of all, they made an assessment of a strong people. A strong people. Look at verse number 28. They said there, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there talking about the strength of those people, the giants. Look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all those Ites brothers that lived in the land of Canaan, they were a physically strong people. But they were not only physically strong, folks, they were spiritually strong as well. And Jason and Heather, there is no doubt that the Bahamian people are strong. I don't know what their physique is like necessarily, if they're tall or short. I'm sure some of them work out and are strong when it comes to physical strength. But for one thing for sure, they are strong in religion, as Brother Adam said on that presentation. They're strong in religion. They're strong in spiritism. The islands seem to be infested with spiritism. I'm not sure why. We support some missionaries down in the French West Indies. Somewhere in the world, there's some missionaries we support. The French West Indies. And Jerome Kadesh Jerome and his family. And he writes often about the spiritism in that land. And over where Ben and Ashley are, on the island of Madagascar. Spiritism and the worship of the ancestors. And going around and taking the bones out of the tombs and holding them, running around. Spiritism seems to be a rampant in the islands, if you will. Satan has a grip on lost people, Brother Jason, and has blinded their minds and they're darkened and they're alienated from the life that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about the color of their skin. I'm talking about the condition of their soul. They're away from Christ Jesus. And let's make no bones about it. You alluded to that fact in your testimony tonight. You didn't know what I was going to preach on. But when a man takes the gospel message to a place like you are going, it's not always received with open arms. In fact, many times it's rejected horribly, especially in the religious realm of the country. There's a tendency for these folks to add Jesus to their other religious beliefs. And you can't just take Jesus and add Him to everything else you've ever trusted in just to cover all the bases and make sure we don't miss anything. You've got to clear the shelf and put Jesus up there by Himself. That's true repentance. Receiving Him only as Lord and Savior. Instead of turning to Christ and Christ alone, they'll be tempted to add Him to all their other religious beliefs, their spiritism and other things. It's unbelievable the grip religion can have on people. You see it right here in the United States of America. I'm sure many of you have sat down with people in the States here. You've taken a New Testament and you have shown them the clear and plain truths about salvation in Jesus. And still, in spite of seeing that so clearly, they still cling to the teachings of the church. Huh? Just cling to the teachings of the church. They're strong people. You remember, Brother Jason and Heather, you're not fighting a physical battle, but a spiritual one. And people who sit in great darkness like the Bahamian people, they are a strong people in the wrong way. Strong in their religion. Strong in their error in so many cases. And unwilling to hear the message of truth. So these 10 spies, they made the assessment that the land of Canaan was filled with a strong people. They made a second assessment, Jason. They made an assessment that it was a consuming land. Look at what it says in verse number 32. They said about halfway through the verse, they said, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." It's a consuming land. Man, don't you know? Here's these 10 spies. Don't you know, folks, that other nations have tried to go in here and conquer the Canaanites and conquer the Hittites and the Jebusites? And don't you know the land has just eaten them up? Don't you know that other people have tried to do a great work there and it can't be done? Son, my grandfather told me a story about people who tried to go into the land of Canaan and it just can't be done in Canaan. We just can't go in there. It's a consuming land. And I'm sure, Jason, if you talk to enough people here in the United States of America, you'll hear statements like, the Bahamas is a graveyard for missionaries. You're going to a hard place. You can't do a whole lot in a place like that. Son, I tried it once down there and it just can't be done. But I will say to you, Brother Lowe, every mission field is hard. Think about the missionaries we sent from our place. We haven't sent any missionaries from this place to an easy field. Look at the Shroks over there in Belarus, Minsk, and the Oswardis in Oriol, Russia, the old Soviet Union. Not ungodly folks, godless for years and years and years and years. No God influence in those countries. And they take the gospel, the Oswardis and the Shroks have taken the gospel message into that place and trying to share the liberty that's in the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. And that's why, Brother Oswardi, there is such great rejoicing in his heart, as you said, when just one old communist comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a miracle worth shouting about, I'll promise you. Dave Shrock the same way. I look at where we sent Ben and Ashley to that place, Madagascar, where they murdered missionaries years and years ago. It's not an easy place. Look where we sent Clint Reardon down in Mexico City. We didn't send him there, but he's from this church and went to visit Clint Reardon in the middle of all that strong Catholicism in Mexico City. There's no easy field. I look at what Brother Brent Gellis and Caitlin are doing as missionaries, as evangelists here in the United States of America and preaching in Christian schools. There may not be a more hard mission field than Christian schools here in the United States of America. No, there is no easy field. Now, there are places where the Spirit of God, it seems, is moving in great power and drawing men to Christ. But friend, you know what we don't know, Brother Jason? We, in those areas where the move of God is happening, and I mean people are coming to Christ by the dozens and the hundreds, we don't know how many years of toil and prayer and effort and work and seeming failure passed by before the years of reaping began to take place. You look at I was down in Mexico City at Brother Kevin Wynn's work last year for a conference. Over 5,000 Hispanic adults and 1,000 Hispanic teenagers. And it's unbelievable what God is doing there. But Kevin Wynn was talking about, and I wish I could remember this. He introduced me to somebody and he told us preachers that were there. He said, "Brothers," he said, "this is the man who really pioneered the work and preached and worked and labored and toiled." And we don't know those stories. We don't know the men behind the big works, the men who went down there when there was no big churches and everybody was saying it can't be done and you can't do it in Mexico and you can't have the same kind of churches in Mexico that we have in the States that are full of energy and power and soul winning effort and so forth. And they went down there, Brother Jason, and they labored and they prayed and they toiled and they preached and they stayed faithful. people. And a lot of times their numerical results were minimal, many times. And I don't know what will happen in the Bahamas. I know this, it's not easy. The ministry is not a piece of cake. And the homesickness and the loneliness, the ministry is not a piece of cake here in America. And when you add on to it, the homesickness and the loneliness and the foreign culture, it all adds up to make it a consuming land. Yes, it has. The foreign field has been a consuming land for a lot of missionaries. So really their assessment was not that wrong. There was a strong people in that place. And it was a consuming land. And those two assessments may be right, Jason, about the Bahamas. A strong people and a consuming land. And these 10 spies, they made those two assessments. And then they said to the children of Israel, we don't have what we need. It's a strong people and a consuming land. And what we need to be successful there, we don't have. But those 10 spies left out the most important and vital component in the whole matter. Caleb and Joshua saw it. They said it in chapter 14 and verse number 9. When here, look at it right there. It's right next page in your Bible, maybe the same page. They said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Here it is, Jason. And the Lord is with us. Now, when you can say that, that changes everything. Yes, they made a correct assessment that it was a strong people in the land. Yes, they made a correct assessment that it was a consuming land. But they overlooked the truth that God was with them. And Brother Jason, you are facing a strong people and maybe a consuming land. And when you're facing a strong people and a consuming land, the thing that you hang your hat on is not your college preparation. It is not your Christian pedigree. Although I'm glad you come from the same family, you and Heather both. It is not your ATC score. It is not your ministry talents and abilities. It is not your Bible knowledge. It is not a soft-hearted people and a friendly land. The thing you hang your hat on is that the Lord is with us. He's with us. And brother, if you've got the proper college education and degree and the Christian pedigree and the ACT score and ministry talents and abilities and a great Bible knowledge and God's not with you, then a strong people and a consuming land are quite a bit to fear. But if God is with you, you don't have to fear those things. If you had to face a strong people in a consuming land without Him, then you might want to reconsider going. I mean that, friend. Why would you move your family from the support of good Christian families that these young people come from? Why would you take your children, expose them to the culture that's full of spiritism and religion, if you didn't know that God was with you? Huh? I told my son and daughter-in-law that. I said, the only reason I would ever see you go that far away, 9,800 miles away, and take the grandchildren and put them in a godless land like that, the only reason I'd ever see you do that is for the salvation of lost souls, son, and the fact that God is with you. You do it for no other reason. So Jason and Heather, we send you to that land with God's call on your life, with His presence at your side. And when you have His presence, you have His promises, and you have His power. You have His provision, and you have His protection. His promises, His provision, His power, His protection. The truth of the matter is, Jason, what you've got is all you need. It matters not if they are a strong people or a soft people. It matters not if it's a consuming land or a friendly land. It matters not. What matters is you've got what you need to go do the work God's called you to. If He goes with you, you've got all you need. And that's not just a bunch of philosophy, folks. That's the way it is. That's true. What you've got is all you need. Go with the reality of His presence. Make no comparisons with others. Let their example challenge you. But Jason, don't ever become prideful of what God does, and don't ever become discouraged by your perception of what God is not doing. You have all you need if you've got Him. Standing on the, think about this with me, Jason, for just a minute and I'll be done. Standing on the deck of a ship out in the middle of an ocean, if you would, you can see the sun rays reflected on the water as you look out across as the sun sets or comes up in the morning or sets at night. You can see the rays of the sun reflected on those vast ocean waters. Sit in a small John boat in a little farm pond, a little placid pond with a fishing rod in your hand and just fishing at night as the sun sets, those sun rays can be reflected on the surface of the water that's in that pond. Go to a little creek, 6-8 inches wide. See the little creek flowing down through the wherever it is, the valley or whatever. And as you stand and look down into that creek, as the sun is setting, you can see the reflection of the sun rays in that little, the waters that flow in that little creek right there. And if you did it, if you went out in the morning or when the dew was fresh and you found on some leaf a large dewdrop, a large drop of water, a dewdrop, and if the sun was rising, you could see the reflection of the same sun in that little drop of moisture on that leaf. So you can see the rays of the sun's reflection, whether you're on a vast ocean, whether you're on a small placid farm pond, where you're looking at a little thin creek, or whether you're looking at one little dewdrop. The rays of that same magnificent sun are reflected in all of those. And Jason, God can fill any man no matter his capacity. He might have the capacity of a great ocean. He might have the capacity of a farm pond. He might have the capacity of a small creek. He might have the capacity of a small little dewdrop. But friend, I want to tell you something. God is not hindered by the vastness of the ocean. And God is not limited by the smallness of the dewdrop. And God is not hindered by the capabilities of any man whatsoever. God can be with any man who will trust Him and keep his eyes on Him, as you mentioned earlier, and look to Him and go with Him, Jason, above all else. Go with God. And when you go with God, what you've got is all you need. All you need. We send you away with a full heart. We'll miss you, although the mission trip to the Bahamas in January or February does sound very enticing. Amen. Some year. We send you away with a full heart, a lump in our throat, a tear in the corner of our eye, because we understand this doesn't mean being gone for a few months and then coming back by for a service like it has been for the last 2 years. This means we won't see you again for a while. You may be going to a strong land, a strong people, and you may be going to a consuming land. But if you can say the Lord's with us, then what you've got is all you need. Don't ever forget that, my brother. Let's pray together tonight. In fact, let's do this. I want to ask Jason and Heather to come. You folks can just, you don't have to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask Jason and Heather to come and as a couple kneel right down here in the front. And I want to ask Jason's granddad, Brother Wayne Irvin, if he would to come. Brother Irvin, if you'll come, please. And kneel there beside Heather. And I'm going to go down and kneel beside Jason. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing on this couple. And ask God to be with them, both him and her, their children, Audrey, Ian, Aiden, you saw in the video, little Ethan, been born to the family since they started deputation. We're going to ask God's blessing on this couple as they leave tomorrow to fulfill the call of God on their life. You sit and watch if you'd like to. Brother Irvin, you pray, and then I'll close, please, sir. And dear Father, we do commend now to this couple to you and ask, oh God, that you'll please empower them for the ministry you've called them to there in the land of the Bahamas. In this great call upon their life, God, we realize it's begun several years ago in your great plan as Jason's granddaddy came to Christ and then his daddy. And then, Lord, as he said in the presentation, as a little boy, he knelt by the bedside and gave his heart to the Lord. And God, we're thankful that you've designed him for this ministry. Lord, I pray that you'll be with he and Heather as they go. And Lord, it's a task, it's a job, an effort, work to maintain a good marriage in the best of circumstances. Lord, even more so on a mission field in a strange place, in a lonely place. I pray that you'll strengthen their relationship with each other. God, that nothing may ever come between this man and his wife. That their hearts will be right with you and as such, Lord, be right with each other. I pray, oh Lord, for all the little children, for Audrey, for Ian and Aiden, for Ethan. Lord, I thank you for their birth, their life, their health. Just ask, oh God, that you'll put a hedge about all those children. Lord, the ones that are not saved, please bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It would be a horrible thing for this man to win Bahamian people to Christ and his own children go unsaved. So God, please bring them to Christ. And may the example they see in the life of their dad and mom lead them into the paths of righteousness. As they grow up, Lord, may their lives bring honor and glory to you. And God, be a testimony of your grace to help those families down there have a home that will be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you'll begin now in the hearts of the people to prepare folks for his message. Lord, they may be a strong people, but there's no power greater than the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray that you'll begin drawing folks to Christ even now. And Lord, when they get there, help Brother Adams, that Lord, you'll help them to be acclimated to the culture. And soon, Lord, find favor with people. And then, Lord, as you have your leading in his life, in the next year, year and a half, show him the exact place where he should go. Lord, start his own work for your honor and glory. God, I know there'll be many challenges. There'll be many mountaintops. There'll be many valleys. Lord, as we saw tonight from the book of Numbers, Caleb and Joshua had the right assessment. They should have been able to take the land because you were with them. Lord, as Heather and Jason go, I'm glad that you're going with them, oh God. We cannot go. We can go with them by way of encouragement. We can go with them, Lord, by way of handshake and by way of prayer. But, Lord, you'll be there with them. You'll be in the home. You'll be in the vehicle. You'll be in the work. You'll be in the rearing of the children. You'll be in the strengthening of the marriage. You'll be in their finances. You'll be in the power of their ministry. So, God, we send them out tonight with a full heart. Lord, it would have been a wonderful thing if they'd have stayed here and served in this ministry. But God, you've honored us by calling this couple away. God, please, bless them, fill them and use them. And we'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you. And thank you, God, for your great plan. And God, I pray that we'll see, we'll live to see, and stay as a church where we can live to see the fruition of these efforts. And that, Lord, someday we'll sit, watch a DVD of smiling faces of people who've come to know Christ as a result of their gospel ministry. We love you, dear Father. We love them. Bless them, I pray tonight, in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. And amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason and Heather. In just a moment, we're going to have this couple come and stand up here and give you the opportunity to come by and just shake hands with them and wish them well if you haven't already. And, you know, some of you ladies, you have email. And I'm sure Jason will have email when he gets down there and gets set up and everything. You know, maybe you could just write a little date on your calendar, just to email Heather, just a note. And, I've learned a lot from having a son and a daughter-in-law go to the mission field. And what life is like there in the first two or three months especially, it's a drastic change. And so you be an encouragement to her. You fellas that are good friends with Jason, be an encouragement to him and send him an email. Don't forget him. And certainly pray for them. His display is in the foyer. If you don't have a prayer card, I hope that you'll get one tonight. You got several prayer cards out there, Jason. And go by and pick one up and put it in a prominent place so you can remember to pray for this couple. All right? Let's stand together. Jason, Heather, you come on up here and stand in the front if you would, please, sir. If you want to bring the kids, that's fine. Or if they'd rather do something else, that's fine, too. But whatever you want to do, come on up here. And just take a moment and come by and shake hands with this couple tonight and wish them well before you go home. Okay, God bless you. I don't think there's any other announcements. See Brother Jason if you need to, Brother Minkowski about the ski camp. God bless you, folks. We'll see you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.